You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.
Today on our show, I'm talking with Padmé Rivlin. Padmé, thanks so much for being with me today.
Thank you for having me.
I'm excited to talk about your show at Management and to begin to go through it. It's an installation, of course, your first show with a gallery, a sculptural installation, and it's conceptually based, right? This is found objects you're using, among other things, radiators, zip ties. Let's talk about your choice to put this particular installation in this space. For one, it's site specific, right? I mean, we have like radiators in here that we're looking at. Radiators have, to me, a number of associations, but certainly with New York and kind of galleries has a certain kind of association. I had kind of an odd piece of trivia, but when I first had a gallery in Rhode Island, I bought a radiator that looked something like this and put it in the corner just so it would look a little more like a New York gallery. but of course, you've done something quite different here, created a sculptural object and something that takes up space and kind of in some ways delineates the space of the gallery itself. So tell me a little bit about the choice to create this particular installation in this space.
Yeah, I mean, I think radiators have a connection to New York, kind of like this kind of a collective imaginary connection, but also it also speaks to New York of a type of city that has the types of seasons that then would require radiators, same way that Philly has kind of a connection to radiators in this way. New York is kind of hard for me because I'm based in New York, but I've, in the last 5 years or so, I've had this practice where I've had the pleasure and the good luck of going around and creating different types of installations in different places. And one of the kind of recipe components for an installation for me is to locally source materials that are easy to find. And the idea is that whatever floats to the surface in terms of what's easier to source says something about the ecology of materials around the exhibition space, in the particular geographic area. Sometimes it's indicative of an event that happened that then changes something. I, for example, had an installation in Aalborg and Kunsthal Nord, and one of the things that happened was that we were trying to source bathtubs. It was difficult, and so we've kind of shifted over to sourcing whatever it is the museum could find in their local junkyard, and there was this turnover of lawnmowers because some kind of new modem came into the market, and so people got rid of their lawn. So suddenly the junkyard was filled with lawnmowers. We went from finding no materials to finding as much materials as we wanted in the form of lawnmowers, and then did an installation with that. And so that's kind of the way that the work functions and kind of takes a lot of its conceptual backbone from. And one of the things that happened with places like New York is that it's a hub for materials. And so it's really difficult to think about what is locally sourced here. But radiators, because of their relationship to realty and because of New York's very fraught relationship to realty and how expensive it is, they end up lingering much longer than other materials. And so you keep finding these types of really old radiators, some of them 150 years old or more, in junkyards because they're slowly trickling out of these apartments and pre-World War I buildings. And so they're this kind of like animality of an object that keeps sticking around because it also is made to last for a long time and to function for a long time. And so that, in contrast with the zip ties that are kind of tied around it, is also kind of like this interesting thing where on one hand, the radiators are this slow, physically heavy, but also slowly exiting the market type of object. And then the zip ties are, and they're kind of, you know, the radiators are kind of omnipresent for that, that they're kind of like sticking around for a really long time. And then the zip ties are omnipresent for a different way, the same way that glitter is omnipresent, that the turnover of them is so fast that they're just everywhere all the time.
And so that makes sense in terms of, you know, sourcing the materials. It's in some ways every time you do an installation, it's specifically referencing where you're sourcing them, right? There's an economy that's referenced here, right? As you just articulated so well, that there's a whole number of things to this particular these objects in terms of them being quintessentially New York, or at least something that can be sourced without too much difficulty, right? That's part of what's happening here in terms of it reflecting the cultural kind of system around you, or maybe not a system, but the kind of cultural detritus, what we get rid of, what's unavailable, what's cheap.
I mean, it's kind of treating objects like phenomena, right? Like whatever phenomena kind of pops up, or whatever object populates itself around a particular area, has a relationship to kind of either how it was, how it became waste, or how it exited, kind of like this system. It's also a little bit of kind of a ridiculous thing to do, because almost all of the objects that are around us are made in almost like 5+ different places. Different parts are made in different places, and so we're really kind of seeing the exit points, and that's also where we're finding ourselves oftentimes, that we are kind of walking into the world, and the world is curated by different objects that kind of give you a sense of what function a place has, or what potential channels a place has, and we're kind of taking it as a given. But in installations like the ones that I do, I'm hoping that I'm also managing to rearrange objects that I'm finding, right? Rather than planting something foreign, I'd like to rearrange things that I'm finding in a particular area and see if I can actually move and shift the spotlight to objects that are already affecting daily life.
I like that. So let's talk about radiators and how they affect daily life, because there's so many aspects to them. I mean, radiators, as we keep moving around, have this, you know, are this kind of phenomena as you're talking about, but they're also a phenomena that that goes on and on, right? It's unlike objects such as a kitchen table or pots and pans or so many things that we use, radiators are likely used by generations, right? For decades. It's one of the few things that doesn't change in a home, and it's one of the few things that we usually don't buy, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we kind of inherit it with the space. They're a little bit like the teeth of the room. It's like the one piece of bone that comes out from the wall that's connected to all of these other systems that are already in the wall that we don't see, because the wall is kind of like there to interface with us. They're interesting because I think that they have this function that, as you said, is kind of ongoing for many generations, and therefore also holds all of these memories, right? Like a lot of people came to the exhibition and talked about how, you know, they have this memories of both childhood, but also now of either their kind of the radiators either working or, you know, unfortunately sometimes not working well enough, or, you know, the heating in the building coming off. So like this kind of relationship to habitation is interesting. And then kind of putting them into kind of the center of the room in an X shape was also a way to echo kind of like where a wall would have been next to a radiator, right? Because it doesn't really function as an autonomous object. And so there is something in this kind of playing with this kind of functional imagination of, you know, if there is a radiator, then there should also be a wall, and therefore if there's a row of radiators, is there kind of like a you know, projected wall right next to them.
Mm. I like that. Yeah, I guess in terms of sculpture, then what's also happening is it's sculpture can delineate space, right? Or gives us a sense of the space that we're in. And of course, in this arrangement, instead of the radiators being kind of tucked against a wall or in the corner, which is typically where they are, they've taken a kind of heroic position almost. They're center stage, so to speak. They're triangulated in some respects. So it also changes their meaning a bit. To speak about that, we're moving them out of where we imagine them to be in a room, because we could imagine them in this room, but we would never imagine them in this configuration. So it's also the way they're taking up space that begins to change the meaning and how we perceive and experience this installation, right?
And I think that it's they are they're sandwiched or that they're paired with walls enough times that they kind of carry this imaginary wall with them, and so that putting them into the next this X shape is kind of closer to kind of the shape of the cubicle or this kind of carving out of space, where space should be or where walls should be. The thing that they did at the gallery that I didn't necessarily anticipate is that because of the X shape, they also change kind of like this feeling of a this kind of a background foreground. Like there's a little bit of a perspective shift with them as you're moving around them because they have the most kind of effect on you when you're kind of close to this opening where kind of like the X is. And then when you're moving to the side, you're starting to see more of the layering, especially the kind of the zip ties. And so there is something also that happens where with the space itself kind of getting almost digested through this kind of like forced perspective there. The zip ties are also kind of like one side is tilted for kind of like down and one side is tilted up, which kind of also creates this strange relationship between the ceiling and the flooring. And so, you know, this gallery, just like many New York galleries, don't necessarily have the flattest of floors, and so there's something about that that kind of further, warps the space that one walks into. And so there is something also, I think, about this the muscles of space that kind of gets echoed through this type of arrangement, and also the fact that, you know, it quite literally pushes the viewer either to the right or to the left of it, that there was this when folks walked into the gallery, because it was kind of going into where the area of the door was at the gallery, there was this feeling as though one needed to shift either to the right where there was more space or to the left. So you kind of got squeezed a little bit, which I find nice.
Yeah, I like that too. So when you talk about muscles of space, which I really love. I love that term, right? We're talking about sculpture and installation. It's also about as somehow activating the whole space, right? A term, a really kind of an academic term, but this idea of everything, right? We walk into a gallery. If there's paintings on the wall, we're walking up to the paintings, looking at the wall, or stepping back. Whereas here, what you just described is also about looking at this entire space. You know, I mean, management is also an interesting gallery to get into from the street, right? The
mm-hmm.
whole way in there, the street, the entrance, the way up. That's part of it, right? Or isn't it? You know, I mean, we at once, you know, for those who visit the exhibit, you know, the neighborhood it's in, how you access the gallery has its own feeling as well that brings you through a kind of space. Is that something that also plays into how this installation is put together at all, or no? Is it once you arrive there, now we're in another kind of planet almost?
Well, I think it is part of it. I think, I mean, mainly the first thing that's part of it is what can even get into the tiny elevator within the Chinese mall that it's in that then can go up. So that there is also something kind of funny about having gone through the process of, you know, bringing radiators to the side of the street and then going one by one and, like, you know, not overloading the elevator and going with these kind of like 21, you know, heavy objects through the shops in the mall and down to that tiny elevator and up and into the, so that type of like really strange animation, I think was also part of it. And also I think is kind of part of any exhibition because you always have to kind of figure out what you can and cannot commute into the exhibition space. But in my particular case, I think that it's, you know, it's doubled down on because the object is treated as phenomenon, so the object traveling also has an effect. I also wanted to say, Reynard, that, you know, the show closed last month, and so unfortunately people can't see it anymore. There's now a beautiful painting show in management. Mm-hmm. But we got a New York Times review on it, and so if people wanted to read that, it would be great. That's from March. The work actually lives on through a protocol, which is another kind of layer of the site specificity of it, that on one hand it has the site specificity to the space, it has a site specificity to the kind of locale that it's in, where it got sourced, and then it has this protocol where if one wanted to buy the work, they would buy a protocol that essentially gave them the basic instructions that they have to source from their area, doesn't matter where it is, at least 3 radiators so that they can put them in an X shape and as many zip ties that they might need in order to kind of surround them, and that it has to have a relationship to kind of like a space defined by walls, basically. So there is, I think, an addition of 5. I don't remember. I think that at least one of them has sold, if not more. And so there is this kind of relationship to this piece kind of repopulating itself a little bit. I think one of the protocols that sold to somebody who's in New York, and so they have chosen 10 or so out of the 21 radiators that were in the space, which is also, I think, another kind of interesting element of the radiators themselves are not special objects. They're only significant in so much that they have this relationship to how they got sourced and where they are and what they are. So the phenomena itself is what's important rather than a particular radiator having a beautiful patina or something.
Right. So I'm so glad you talked about that specifically. So in terms of collecting and the protocol, that could actually be changed, right? It's not so much the radiators that one collector bought in New York that could even be changed in the future. Were they to move somewhere else, let's say, that particular collector moved out of New York, they could take those radiators with them, or could they get new radiators where they're moving to, source them locally, put them in an X, use zip ties, and kind of update it that way, or is that not how it works?
So that's exactly, so the latter is really how it works. The idea is that the piece is art, or the content of its kind of artness is kind of sitting on this connection between the locale and the exhibition space and its kind of relationship to the ecology of materials around it. And so if one was to take New York sourced radiators with them to, let's say, Belgium or something, then it's no longer art. But if one took the simple instructions and the protocol, went to Belgium, sourced radiators, and, you know, it could be, you know, between 3 to infinity, that is the same work, basically. So that the relational kind of relationship, the relationships between things, the shape, the relationship it has to walls, the relationship it has to how it was sourced, those are the things that are kind of like the basic aspects of what makes this particular artwork.
Thanks for sharing that. And of course, as you said, the show has closed, but for listeners, there's links so you can follow through and see images from this, but also learn more about what we're talking about in terms of information and more. I want to ask you one more question before we go a little off topic. What are you reading at the moment?
I am rereading Down to Earth, which is a book Bruno Latour wrote, I think, almost 10 years ago now, or maybe less.
Thank you so much. I want to thank you for talking with me today, Bademi. It's really been a pleasure. I wish you well. Thank you so very much.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.